Good. I was in a basement room, and I didn't realize how bad my reception was until we tried to start talking. So I moved up a few floors, and now it's better.
Okay, good.
So I'd like to tell you a little bit about what I've done for my, what I'm doing for my master's research, and then hopefully get your stories about your time in the gardens and what you did there and what they were like.
Okay. Sure.
So I'm in my second year as a master's student in the geography department, and I'm doing just basically a history of the Eagle Heights Community Gardens and the lands they've been on and their relationship with the university and how that has changed over time. And what it's been as a place for different people. So that's my three second explanation. And I've started by asking people, what do you remember about the gardens when you were there, and when were you there?
Okay, so we were there from 76 to 80. I think we put in our first garden probably in 77, maybe 78, I'm not positive. So my wife and I lived in Eagle Heights the entire time that I was a graduate student.
Okay.
And so we both grew up in the Midwest, in Nebraska, with farming backgrounds where gardens were, you know, an important part of life. Moms were putting up, you know, canning this and that and so on. And with the, you know, limited budgets and so on. And so it's partly because of limited budgets, partly because it's in your blood. The opportunity to do a garden was really cool. And, of course, the concept of the community garden was new to both of us. So that was different, but it of course was seemed like the perfect way to do things. I remember, so the gardens were there's some walk. I mean, there's some distance from the actual apartments, and that would depend on where you were in the apartments. We weren't that far away, but still, it was, you know, so that changed the way you approached it. You're schlepping stuff in there. Trying to think, okay, how am I going to get this stuff in, get this stuff out? So that was, again, different from the way we had grown up gardening, where the gardens were three steps from the house.
Which is really nice. You just step out and you fall into the tomatoes.
Well, they were on the farm. They were right there. They were handy. But I also remember that it was good soil. It was nice-sized plots, so plenty of room. And it was fascinating then for us to look out across these gardens and see the different ways in which people would use their garden space. I mean, just one of the things I remember is a garden plot next to us, and the couple there had planted it almost completely to okra. And okra was something that we had never tasted, had no experience with. So it was just, what are you doing? Okra. Where are you from? Oklahoma. So, you know, that kind of an experience. And then also a lot of internationals. So you'd see a lot of people out there in international garb and then planting their different vegetables. Things that just not recognizing all the plants, and fascinating to see the different techniques people would use. Some people mounding big piles of dirt and then planting things in the mounds. Other people spreading out newspaper mulch. The next person laying down black plastic. I remember somebody picking up on the idea of plastic to kind of help. In the spring, to sort of a little bit of a greenhouse effect, and also to keep weeds down, but using clear plastic, which was a bad mistake, because, of course, that just meant that you know, there was somebody kind of new to gardening, and they laid down clear plastic to get rid of weeds, and, of course, they just created a nice little hothouse for the weeds to grow, and they pushed the plastic up. So that was not so good. So remembering all those different things.
Yeah.
Also remember, so the irritation was interesting. And as I recall, the way that worked is there was irrigation pipe laid out across the plot. If I'm remembering right, this garden plot covered, probably half a mile by a half a mile, so a quarter section, something like that. I mean, it was, my memory of it, was pretty good size. So that meant that there was pipe laid out, but you didn't have a faucet right at each garden plot. So you could walk to the nearest one and then get your water and take it over and irrigate.
Yeah.
I think you were allowed to hook up a hose for a period of time, but you couldn't leave a hose hooked up and use a sprinkler to irrigate.
Yeah.
Like we would have done, you know, at home again, so different in that regard.
Were there things that you didn't like about it being a community garden? You said it was different in a probably a good way, but were there things you didn't like or problems?
No, there really wasn't anything that we didn't like about the fact that it was, other than sort of the fact that you, so some things were prescribed, right? So the size of the plots, I can't remember exactly, I think you chose a medium or a large plot, I don't remember exactly how it all worked. But again, you know, we grew up in a situation where nobody was telling us what size garden plot to put in. We made that decision. Where here, we had a certain space that we were responsible for. And you essentially had to take the whole space. So that meant, you know, the weed control. And I can't remember all the details, but, you know, it was a community garden, so there were kind of shared expectations, and that the irrigation, and not that they were, any of these were a big deal, but it wasn't the way we had grown up gardening.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I don't recall any issues with people being, disrespectful, stealing produce, trampling on your garden. There were pretty good paths laid out between garden spaces, so there really wasn't any reason to walk across somebody else's garden. But you can imagine that might have happened. I certainly don't recall that it ever happened.
Yeah.
I mean, probably the one of the stronger memories I have is after putting all of the work into a garden, nurturing along through the spring and then into the summer, then the mosquitoes would hatch out. And I remember a time when we just let the produce go. It was so horrible to try and go out and get your produce out because you were just attacked by the mosquitoes. And like you said, it was quite a walk out there, and there was just no protection. That's horrible.
Oh, and when mosquitoes are bad, they're really bad, you know?
When they're bad, exactly.
Yeah.
So there are times when they're tolerable, you know, you can swat them off, or you can put on a little peat or something. But I remember they were just so bad, people just kind of said, what's going out there?
Not going near there.
Yeah.
And you were on the garden committee for a little while? Do you remember much about that or what that was like?
No, if I was on the garden committee, I don't remember it.
Well, I think you were the pipes chairman, or the pipes
is that
person.
Right?
Is that right?
Okay. I do not remember that. Yeah.
Oh, darn.
I must have done a good job, though.
It must have been great.
Yeah, must have been a good job. That's all I can imagine. I really don't have any memory of that. I certainly remember the irrigation. I didn't remember that I was sharing it for a year or something. I certainly remember the pipes and getting those out and things.
What was it like to get the pipe? So you had to bring them out in the spring, every spring, because they'd been put away. Were they all above ground then, or were there some below ground? Do you remember?
No, at that point it was all above ground, and basically we had to get them out of the way in order for the. I'm trying to remember who we kind of contracted with. It was probably one of the departments on campus, like a hoarder or crop science or somebody or agronomy, to come in and till it for us. So contracted with somebody, but of course they weren't going to do that unless we had all the pipes out of the way.
Those
had to be picked up and put away and then brought back out again.
It's a big job.
Irrigation. Kind of remember that. And I don't remember if we paid for the plots or not. I think we did a nominal fee, but we must have.
Yeah, I think you paid about $2, $2.50. Does that sound in the news? I think I don't remember what years it was, but I think in the newsletter they said the plots would be $2 or something.
Yeah, no, that's probably right. And at the time, it was enough that we probably stopped and thought about it. You know, should we really spend $2? Are we going to get our money back? You know, what are we paying for? It's just dirt. Why can't we just go play? You know, sure, we had all those conversations with ourselves, but at this point, you know, you go, cost of a latte, sure. Some time ago.
Do you? What did you plant, and what did you grow?
I can't remember exactly, I know that we had usuals for us. We had tomatoes, which were pretty special for us. We had beans. We would have put in some cucumbers and some squash. I think we knew better than to try and do sweet corn. I don't think we tried to do sweet corn. I think we probably did try and do a few potatoes. Let's see, what else? I'm sure we had radishes and lettuce in there as well.
You knew better because of the raccoons for the sweet corn? Or why do you know better than
sweet corn? Kind of knowing that sweet corn... So we were used to it sort of a field scale level, grown up on farms, and sweet corn is, tall and shaped stuff. So you start putting in sweet corn, and you've got to be pretty careful about what it is you want to shade in the rest of your garden. And you don't get a lot for the space that you take up. So you're really using up a lot of your space to get enough sweet corn for a couple of meals. So we knew it was much better to just go ahead and buy it off of a pickup truck, farmer's market.
It's probably just as good, and they have the space for fields of it. So
right. I don't grow it in the big fields. Yeah. So that was kind of that's what I meant by that comment.
I'm just curious because some people they say they planted corn, but then the raccoons all came and got it. No, there wasn't any point in them planting corn. So I was wondering.
Right. Now that you mention that, I do remember people saying that would happen to them just as they had it, you know, just about the day they thought they were going to go out and harvest it. They'd go out and the raccoons had gotten it first.
Raccoons have that sense. They know exactly when it's going to be ripe, and they do. It's still a problem in the gardens. People still plant some corn, and raccoons will still come and get it the night before they're going to harvest it. So,
So the gardens are still going.
The gardens are still going. Yeah, they're in that same spot too. So
same spot. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty much. The one big difference I'd say is that they're no longer plowed every year. They're perennial plots now. So. So they're not tilled every year, but people can then keep the same thing and plant perennials. There's raspberries and rhubarb and asparagus and all kinds of things. A lot of bulb flowers. Yeah.
So then what happens with those perennials when someone moves on? Someone else sort of adopt them and take over that plot? Or is it not individual plots anymore?
It's still individual plots. I would say people plant perennials knowing that they'll leave, and some people, I think, maybe bring them with them, and then otherwise, whoever gets that plot after you gets a gift in the spring of perennials, either weed seeds or fun things, like, so yeah, it becomes a surprise what's going to be in your garden, but you can also request to have that same plot year after year.
Sure, that would make sense, yeah.
So for the length, if you're going to be there for a while, then you'd plant them. There are also community members that have plots there now, and some people have had plots there for a long time. And they have a lot of perennials. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. So would this be an example of one of the oldest community plots you're aware of?
In the nation? Probably. It's hard to say for certain because a lot of plots come and go. These were started, I believe, in 1960. So they're 50 years old, which is pretty... It's a long time.
Yeah.
I think there are some older plots in Boston, in the Fens, but besides that, I'm not sure of. And maybe in New York, but I think these are some of the oldest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is pretty neat.
You mean in Corvallis now, and I'm not aware of any that go anywhere near that old in terms of... In fact, the community plots that are here now are fairly new.
Mm. Hmm. Were they when were they started in Corvallis? Do you?
So the ones that I'm aware of would go back only about 5 years.
Oh wow, very new.
Yeah, very very recent. I may well be ignorant of some older plots just because we have our own place and our own garden, so we didn't really need to go out looking for community plots. But as I drive around town and ride my bike around things, I know of some places where some community plots have been put in, again, would you say fairly recently, in the last 5 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Not aware of any other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always interesting to hear about. So you do still have, you still garden now, and did you garden right after you left Eagle Heights?
So... Not right after we left Eagle Heights, because we moved to Germany for 2 years, and there weren't any, I'm trying to remember, but I don't think there were any garden plots available to us then.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as we came back to the U.S., I was in California for 7 years, and certainly we tried to garden there, and then as we moved up here 20 years ago, we've been gardening in Corvallis ever since.
Yeah.
But what's been interesting is at each different place we go to, learning, dealing with the different climates, the different soil conditions, and having to relearn each time what we can grow and what we can't.
Mm-hmm.
So California, much hotter and drier. So, again, some things just not worth the effort to try and grow. And where we lived, the soil was decomposing granite.
Oh.
So it was really, it was challenging to get enough organic matter in it to allow anything to grow and have decent soil.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got up to Corvallis, higher latitude than what we were used to, much more clay in the soils, and where we live is hilly and fir trees around. So, trying to find things that'll tolerate...
A little bit of sun,
and then constant frustration with tomatoes here.
Not enough sun.
When you get right down to it, what's the one thing you want to be able to pick from your garden? It's a fresh tomato. Nobody's been able to match a fresh tomato in the store yet, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh no, no.
I mean, most other things you do a pretty good job, but those tomatoes, so they're not. And we just don't have the long hot days that you need here.
Mm-hmm.
So our nights are pretty cool, and then it does warm up, but don't get the long hot growing seasons you need for tomatoes.
You can grow pretty good tomatoes in Wisconsin, that's for sure.
Oh, geez, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're spoiled there.
It's great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good climate for a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Really, it really is a great place to be. Growing gardens is the diversity of things you can grow there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're spoiled with the berries here.
Mm.
But it was really too hot to do that in California. But in Wisconsin, you know, you can get by with a lot of different berries.
Mm-hmm.
Grow with them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, raspberries almost have taken over lots of the gardens. Everybody has some raspberries in their plots, and they're pretty prolific, which is really nice to have raspberries around.
Sure.
It's really nice. Did you do organic gardening, or what kinds of gardening techniques were used in the gardens when you were there?
Well, I'm sure that our techniques were pretty much exactly what we learned from our parents, which at that time the word organic was not around.
Yeah.
Nobody spoke of organic gardening. You know, we spoke more of it was even 30 years ago, however long I'm talking now, almost 40 years ago, you know, we weren't that so we would use whatever it took to get the produce in, but mm-hmm. we were also aware not to overdo the use of the pesticides. So we were cautious about how much we used, partly because the darn stuff was expensive.
Yeah.
We didn't have any money. But no, certainly no organic farming.
Yeah.
I don't remember how much. See, I don't think we put much fertilizer on. That soil, as I recall, was pretty fertile.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember going in there with any
mm-hmm.
any fertilizers.
Yeah.
So mostly it was, we'd start with a tilled soil and plant and hoe. We were mostly, kind of grew up on you plant it, you weed it, you hoe it, you keep it tended, you know, you tend your garden, and that's how you garden.
Yep.
no particular. That was it. Wasn't anything too fancy about it.
No. Sounds like my gardening style. Plant it, weed it, eat it.
Yeah.
It works pretty well.
Yeah, I think we would put down some mulch, you know, and mm-hmm. we could find it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember how that worked. I think the community, how did that work? I think that they would go out and sort of, I think they would go and order. You could put in an order for some straw bales, and then somebody would go out and get a bunch of them, bring them in. But I can't really remember. Because again, that's sort of a challenge. You know, you want some mulch to lay down in your garden, but you don't have access to it. And we weren't doing any community composting at that time. Are they doing that now? Do they compost things?
Yeah, there's a big pile for your weeds and old plants and things that is called the compost pile. It's not managed very well as compost, but it is supposedly our compost pile. So there is community composting, and I think some people also bring their food scraps out, which would help with the ratio of the kind of matter.
Greens to browns.
Greens to browns. Thanks. I lost that for a second. Which would help with that ratio. But there are also the mulch that's there now are leaves from the city of Shorewood. They truck in leaves for us because it's a shorter distance than them bringing them down to the south side of Madison, where the city composting facility is. So that's nice. So there's a lot of about 3 giant leaf piles that you can truck over to your plot for mulch, which is nice.
Yeah, good.
Mm-hmm. And hay is probably better in some ways for mulching because the leaves have so much nitrogen because they aren't broken down at all. But that's not bad.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Do you remember anything about how the gardens were the garden's interactions with the university or any tensions over whether the gardens could keep their land at that time, or was that something that wasn't really in, that you, it was in your radar if you were working in the gardens?
So, I mean, I have some very vague memories of discussions about what would happen to the land, about concerns that, I think even there might have been discussion about expanding Eagle Heights in that direction. So yes, I mean, it was something which I think people talked about and worried about a bit, you know, are we going to lose these gardens one day? And probably different levels of reaction to that concern.
So some
people more of a, how dare they, this is our land, our gardens kind of approach, which of course, you know, it's university land that they were pretty graciously allowing us to. Certainly we weren't renting that land from the university. But then others, you know, and others more of a, well, let's enjoy it while we can kind of an attitude. And if one day it needs to be used for something that's deemed to be a more important purpose, well, then so be it. And I think you had that full spectrum.
Yeah. As you'd expect from any community organization, I suppose.
Huge range of things.
Did you interact a lot with people when you're out in your garden plot, or did you have friends that you knew also gardened and you shared produce, or how? What are the community aspects or social interactions that you remember from it?
So, you would interact with the people that were in the plot next to you. So, I don't recall that we would, that a group of people living close together in Eagle Heights would then get a group of plots close together. So you ended up with plots that where you didn't know who was going to be next to you, and then you'd strike up conversations with them. Some of them. Some of them were more kept to themselves, but others you'd start chatting with. Now, we didn't establish any lifelong friendships there, but it was fun to interact with people. And again, often it'd be, like I say, the guy from Oklahoma, you know, that was planting the okra.
Did he share any okra with you and tell you how to cook it?
Oh, gosh, yeah. He gave us all kinds of stories about how to do it. Of course, we just sort of went, well, thank you very much, and ignored it. We probably weren't as adventuresome then with regard to food as we are now. But he was certainly willing to share.
So,
there's some of that, huh?
Oh, I like your okra story. That's a good one. Just the uncertainty about what people are doing, or why would you do that? I don't understand.
Why would you do that? Why would you plant most of your plot to okra?
Do you remember any weed problems or issues?
Oh, of course.
Do you remember what kinds of weeds were around the gardens then, or?
I don't remember specifically which weeds there were, but absolutely, and that, I mean, it was actually quite a problem, because people would go out with great intentions in the spring, put in all kinds of stuff, and then forget about them. And like I said, the mosquitoes helped you to forget about them, and people would sort of lose that management at different times through the year. So some people had weeds all the time. You couldn't tell the produce from the weeds. Others at least kept with it long enough to give the produce the head start it needs, the vegetables, so that you could then harvest some things. But that was always, and by the end of the year, end of the season, most plots you'd go out and they were full of weeds. It was a huge problem. And in fact, the way we were managing it, in hindsight, we were encouraging the weeds. So the fact that we'd go in and till it up each time, you know, right after all those weeds had seeded. it's not surprising we had big weed problems.
Did the garden committee try to do anything about the weed problems? Do you Do you know, or was it just once you had your plot, that was up to you to deal with it?
They didn't try and do anything. No.
Yeah.
And I don't recall. I mean, there might have been some mentions in the newsletter about, remember to knock down your weeds, but I don't even know that that much happened.
Mm-hmm. Might have been a threat, but not actual. Nothing came out of it.
No sanctions. No, going to charge you if you don't get your weeds taken care of. I don't recall anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well.
But again, it has been a few years ago.
It has been, but you have lots of memories. Every single gardener I've talked to always says something somewhere in the interview. Oh, well, it has been a long time ago, but every single person has had amazing stories to tell me. So.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it must be a fun project for you.
It really is a fun project. I'm enjoying it immensely. There's so many fascinating people who have different takes, but all remember the gardens as a special, different, interesting place for different reasons. But it's been really neat to hear all of them. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything you thought I might ask you about that I haven't asked you about?
Nothing comes to mind.
Do you have any questions for me about what the gardens are like now? What anything more about what I've learned? Anything?
Well, so we talked a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. That was interesting to get some insights.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I hope that when you get this done, maybe you can send out a message to us where we can find your thesis. It would be fun to take a look at that.
Most definitely. Yeah, I'm hoping to share it with everybody I've talked to, so I will keep you informed of how it develops. It should be by the end of the summer that I have something. So
keep your And what is your major?
I'm a master's student in the geography department. So geography.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My advisor is an environmental historian, so I would say it's going to be an environmental history side of geography.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
That's fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. It really is the interactions of land use and people and university versus community, or what even community is in this place, has been. It's still a challenge to untangle for me, so I'm working on it. But yeah, but it's good. It's a good challenge.
Good.
So, well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck with your project.
Thank you, and I will be in touch.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.